Dr. Ron Sider has spent a lifetime promoting moral action in the world we live in today, inspired by timeless teachings of our faith traditions. With the recent name change of the influence think tank he founded from Evangelicals for Social Action to Christians for Social Action, Dr. Sider broadens further the relevance and potential engagement for the work that he does at this particular time and its importance. Ron Sider is the editor of a provocative book out earlier this year titled The Spiritual Danger of Donald Trump, 30 Evangelical Christians on Justice, Truth, and Moral Integrity. And I am so pleased to welcome him to State of Belief Radio. Ron, thank you for agreeing to be with us today.
Delighted to join you. Thank you.
There is so much ground to cover in the short time that we have, but I'd like for you to start with a summary of the themes that emerged from among all of the essays in the Spiritual Danger book.
Well, that would be hard to do even in 30 minutes, but we dealt with issues of character and issues of substance in terms of his politics. Different articles talked about his almost constant lying, the way that he, I think, consciously stoked racism instead of trying to help us get beyond the racism that still exists in our society, just his own personal character in terms of the misogyny and sexual abuse and on and on. But we also disagreed vigorously in terms of policy. We thought his position on climate change was fundamentally wrong, contrary to the science, and disastrous for the world. We thought that his tax cut was largely for the benefit of the richest 20%. I could go on and on with his policies. So it was a combination of character and policy issues where we fundamentally disagreed.
I understand. And I also wanted our listeners to understand the practical impact of evangelical engagement with power on these themes, and even more specifically, where is that having the most impact in the current manufactured election crisis?
Well, it's interesting to try to figure out how white evangelicals voted. It's important to say white evangelicals because the black church is just as evangelical theologically as the white church, and so are Latino Protestants and Asian American Christians. But in 2016, apparently about 81% of white evangelicals voted for Trump. We don't have really excellent data yet, but it looks like that may have dropped. Certainly, Michael Ware in his article in the New York Times suggested that that had dropped to 76%. White Christians generally voted a major majority in 2016 for Trump. Among white mainline Protestants and white Catholics, that dropped, but it was still over 50%. But it's perfectly clear that white evangelicals have been, by all odds, the largest block of people supporting Donald Trump in 2016 and again in 2020. And I think that's tragic, especially because of the extent of the racism that was there in his approach. Peter Weiner did a book a year or so ago and cited studies that indicated that apparently the most important reason that white people were voting for Trump in 2016 was not even economic issues, although you know, the bottom 30%, 50% in this country has really been screwed in the last 30, 40 years in terms of economics. And they have every reason to be mad, although why they think that a billionaire would be the person to solve their justice problems is beyond me. But it wasn't primarily the economic issue, according to this study. The first issue was that so many of white Americans felt that they were losing their status as the dominant group as they realized that more and more, a larger and larger percent of the American people were non-white. So racism was clearly there as one issue, not the only issue. There was abortion, religious freedom issues, lots of issues that affected the evangelical vote. But I find it tragic, unfaithful, makes me weep at the extent to which white evangelicals, both in 2016 and in 2020, endorsed Donald Trump.
What do you say to some of the faith-driven obstructionists currently giving cover to a surreal narrative of grievance and a stolen election?
Yeah, that's perfectly mind-boggling. I mean, it's perfectly clear that Biden has won. You know, it's amazing to watch the Republican person in Georgia in charge of the election say that it was essentially fair, and is getting attacked by Republicans. And it's clear there are just lots and lots of prominent white fundamentalists, they call themselves evangelicals, who are defending Donald Trump as he refuses to accept what's clearly happened. I find no excuse for it. I guess it's part of a larger picture of ignoring the science. For example, on climate change, probably the largest group of people in the country who deny the science of climate change are, again, white evangelicals, and the response of conservatives to the science of dealing with COVID-19, just wearing masks, for goodness sakes, and not meeting in large numbers. I find it really tragic. Annoying is not nearly a strong enough word when prominent evangelical pastors fight their state governments on wanting to have their religious services continue to be held in large numbers. That's just contrary to the science of how we help fewer people die as a result of COVID-19. And I finally don't understand, but it's wrong. And I weep, and I'm doing everything I can to try to change it.
Since the publication of this powerful book, do you see signs that any minds have been changed? Have the voices you've amplified in spiritual danger been heard by evangelical Christians actively enthralled to this administration?
Well, I wish I could say that it changed the minds of millions of people. I can't, but I have received emails. I got an email from a lawyer who said, thank you for the book. It changed my mind, and I did not vote for Trump in 2020. Another person wrote and said that she'd been giving the book to white evangelical women in Texas and said that a number of them had changed their minds. I think it's clear that the percentage of white evangelicals who voted for Trump in 2020 dropped a little, nowhere nearly what it should have been, but it dropped some. So I think, you know, we made a modest difference. I also organized with Rich Mao, the former president of Fuller Seminary, a group called Pro-Life Evangelicals for Biden. And we said we didn't agree with him on abortion, but there were a whole bunch of pro-life issues beyond abortion, racism, global poverty, climate change, and so on. And I think that group made the difference too. You know, we all did a little bit, and it was enough to get Joe Biden elected.
Ron, are there ways for people of faith to talk to each other across these growing lines of division, lines that are tearing at religion while ultimately being entirely secular?
Yeah, I've written about that. I did a blog called Jesus Weeps, where I talked about the fact that theologically Christians are committed to the belief that our oneness in the body of Christ is more important than any political differences, and that any kind of biblical understanding of that oneness of the body of Christ means that we should be listening to each other and talking to each other across those differences. It's easy to spell that out theoretically and lay out the theological reasons why it should happen. It's much more difficult to really do it in practice. I feel that one of my major responsibilities going forward in the next months and few years is to try to have that conversation across all the lines in the Christian church and in the whole society. We need to listen to each other if our democracy is going to work. But especially, you know, I still identify myself as an evangelical, and I'm clearly white. So I would hope that somehow God would allow me to have conversations with the kinds of folk like Franklin Graham and Eric Metaxas and even the good brother who said that the only evangelical who would vote for Donald Trump is an evangelical who has, quote, sold his soul to the devil. I'd like to sit down with that brother. I think he wants to follow Jesus, and so do I, and we ought to talk together.
Hmm. I noted that the organization you founded and have led for many years, Evangelicals for Social Action, just changed its name to Christians for Social Action. Talk about that change, if you would, and maybe you, because you were talking about what is ahead for you and what you want to do, is that part of the change?
I founded the organization. I led it for 40 years, and I turned it over. Since 2017, we have an absolutely fabulous executive director, Nikki Toyama Sato. I have been chair of the board or co-chair of the board, continue to be that. I was fully involved in the process of changing the name. I think it's simply true that for large numbers of the American community, young Christians, including young evangelicals, certainly secular Americans, when they hear the word evangelical, it means politics. It means right-wing pro-Trump politics, not something theological and biblical as it used to mean. So, as a board, we came to the conclusion that it was simply counterproductive to have to overcome that barrier every time somebody went to our website or saw our name. We changed it. I did a blog saying same mission, different name. That's true. Same biblical commitments. As an organization, we decided we just had to recognize the toxic connotations of the word evangelical today. Now, personally, I still consider myself an evangelical theologically, not a right-wing political evangelical, but an evangelical theologically, and so I'll continue to say what I think that means. But our organization needed to change the name.
Dr. Ron Sider has never held back when he's seen religious mandates being ignored or misapplied. His countless books include The Scandal of the Evangelical Conscience and The Scandal of Evangelical Politics, both released more than a decade ago now. His most recent work is The Spiritual Danger of Donald Trump, 30 Evangelical Christians on Justice, Truth, and Moral Integrity. Ron, thank you so much for what you have done through the years, and it is really great to have you on State of Belief Radio, and I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you, Weldon. Good to be with you.